glad you're here. We're glad you're here. Fellowship's sweeter knowing you're near.
Hi, listening friend. Welcome to the Friday edition of Mark and Friends. It's January 31st, 2014, the last Friday, in fact, the last day in this first month of this new year, 2014. So I hope your week was a good week and you found yourself many times leaning into the scriptures, maybe getting advice or counsel from a godly Christian friend, or calling up your pastor and encouraging him, or reading the word daily, or studying scripture, or being challenged by maybe a message or something that was spoken over the airwaves. There's so many different ways to connect and identify with God. And we hope today on the Friday edition of Mark and Friends, as we continue our study through the book of Acts, you'll be blessed and encouraged, and you'll do what the Bereans did. Isn't it the Bereans that they, after hearing a message by Paul or someone, then they went and studied the scripture to see if it was consistent totally. Or to validate whether it was true? So hopefully, as you grab your Bible and go along throughout the book of Acts with us on these Fridays, you'll do that. Let me identify a couple upcoming events that we want you to be made aware of. This coming Monday, Moody's Founders Week starts, the evening session, live session from the Moody Memorial Church in Chicago. They'll begin at 7 p.m., 7 to 9 p.m. basically are the evening sessions, and then Tuesday through Friday, 9:30 to noon. We'll be announcing all the specific speakers, but they'll include Paul Nyquist, who's the president of the Moody Bible Institute. Leif Anderson will be the speaker on Tuesday, Erwin Lutzer, Crawford Laritz, and Jim Cimbala. And then the daytime sessions, there'll be a variety of Bible teachers and speakers and special guests. And the morning sessions 9:30 to noon on WGNN exclusively. So those will be live coverages of Founders Week beginning on Monday. And then a week from today, Friday, February 7th, there's still room for you and your friends and family members, neighbors, colleagues, anyone you know to join in on a five-week study of the book of Genesis. Actually, a couple people have called in. It'll primarily be, what, chapters 1 and 2. Maybe we'll get into chapter 3?
Correct.
Okay, so that'll all begin a week from today. There's a $10 cost. And so in order to make arrangements for the materials that we'll be handing out, you need to RSVP, and you need to call 217-367-7777. We'll be meeting at the Judah Christian School in Champaign on Prospect Avenue beginning at 6:30 p.m. to 8 p.m., a five-week study, and it'll be basically the first and third Friday of February, first and third Friday of March, and then April 4th. The first Friday in April. So make it a date night, or get your small group to come out and study the book of Genesis with us. And then one other announcement, March 29th, put that on your calendar, Saturday, March 29th, 1,000 years of church hymns, but it's going to include Steve Green and Twyla Paris, and they're going to also sing some of their classics. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be like classics with a emphasis on some of the hymns, and they're both such gifted artists. And I think we just secured a world-renowned pianist is going to be a part of the evening also. I don't have his name in front of me, but it's going to include that special guest along with the singing men of GNN singing some backup and maybe opening up the show. So that'll be on Saturday, March 29th. Tickets will be going on sale soon, and we're still looking for a few more sponsors. We've had some people come on board to help minimize the ticket cost. They'll be $15 with a $40 cost for the VIP treatment, where you'll get special seating and an early entrance and a meet and greet with Steve Green and Twyla Paris. But if you're a business or a family and you want to help underwrite some of the costs of this great evening, give me a call at 217-367-7777, and we can talk it through. Doug's Pharmacy was the latest business that came on board. They helped underwrite some of the costs last time, a couple years ago when we had a big concert, so we appreciate Doug and the members there at Doug's Pharmacy in Paxton. And so if you want to be a sponsor, let me know, 217-367-7777. So the book of Acts, Jason, how about praying us all in? I know last week we kind of left off with the heart of giving, and I know today you're going to talk a little about Ananias and Sapphira. So pray us in, and we'll get everyone ready to grab their Bibles. If you're traveling, don't close your eyes during this prayer time, but if you can pull over to the side of the road, or those of you that are still home, pull out your Bible, and we'll be in Acts chapter 5. Lord, we know you are good, and we just affirm that fact. We trust in your Holy Spirit that you will reveal to us and offer us wisdom even through this radio broadcast, that as we look at the words on the page, that they will bring meaning to our life. Lord, that you're going to do something. Lord, that we have faith that you're going to do something. That this won't simply go out and return void, because you tell us that your word never returns void, that it always accomplishes the mission for which it's been sent. And so, Lord, we ask you right now that your word would do a work in us, that it would change us, that these 15 or 20 minutes that we spend together in your word, Lord, would have life-changing implications for each one of us. Lord, that we believe that, Lord. The first step of faith is that we believe that. And we believe that because we entrust not just some, but all of ourselves to your great Son, Jesus. And all God's people, if you're in a car, yell, amen.
Amen. And also let me ask the radio listeners, please be praying up Jason's health. I know he's coming maybe down with a little cold or something. And he was on the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends. If you missed those programs,
he works me like a dog. I can barely even walk.
Yeah, that's right. He talked about the state of the church. And if you missed those broadcasts or you were gone all week, they are archived at greatnewsradio.org. I think you'll be really intrigued and blessed and informed on the state of the church and different ways that we can welcome not only the millennials, but all people, and not just getting them to go to church, but getting them in a relationship with Almighty God so that they're with God throughout the day and throughout the week, but gathering with other like-minded believers, the importance of bringing people together in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But all those programs, Monday through Wednesday, with co-host Pastor Jason Schiff, are archived at greatnewsradio.org. But remember him on this weekend. He's going to be preaching this Sunday morning at the Evangelical Free Church in Muhammad. You're all welcome. It's a 10:45 service, and there's Sunday school before then, but maybe you have an early church service, and you can attend there and zip over. And
we're going to talk about the theology of suffering. The Bible has some very interesting things. I see a lot of people suffering. Maybe you're listening out there, and you're going, I'm really going through a tough time right now. And the Bible has a lot to say about that. In fact, the Bible has a ton to say about suffering. And so we're going to walk through a biblical theology of suffering, because according to Paul, suffering is essential to sanctification. It's essential to your becoming more like Christ. That this idea that we've been sold to come to Jesus and everything's going to be fine, streets of gold, paved, all those things, everything's going to be wonderful from your perspective is not true. You were sold a bad bill of goods in that. Come to Jesus, and Jesus himself said, you'll bear the weight of the cross upon you, but I will carry you, I will sustain you through my Spirit, I will guide you, but you're going to have to keep your eyes fixed on me. So we're going to talk about the theology of suffering for 2 weeks.
You know, it's interesting because Michael Card, when we interviewed him a few years ago prior to coming to the Virginia Theater for that big event, he said there's not many songs. You know, everything's praise and worship, and he's written many songs that have laments in them. And it's interesting because he said, you know, we have all these praise and worships, but there aren't those songs that we can really lay before God our struggles, our heartaches, our disappointments, I mean, really laments. But there's books in the Bible that talk about lamenting.
Listen, a third of the Psalms are blues albums. Mm-hmm. It's David crying out to God, where are you? Why are things like this? What is happening? You know, for David in the Psalms, the dog died, the truck got sold, and, you know, I mean, it's country western blues songs. I mean, it's crazy. And then the whole book, Lamentations, which in Hebrew is called Echa, which means God's not present in it. I mean, there's nowhere in it where God is mentioned. So it's fascinating. So, yeah, I mean, there's not a lot of Christian songs that are like that. And yet, as Christians, we do see and feel and understand a great amount of suffering. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, so the book of Acts, as we said, the end of chapter 4 and beginning of chapter 5. The end of chapter 4 talks about Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus. And really what this whole, the end, the last bit of chapter 4 beginning in verse 36 and then into chapter 5 through verse 11 is really to show us what generosity looks like, to show us the marked difference and what happens in the heart. And the Bible has some very interesting things to say about generosity. By the way, beginning here, it says that they laid it at the apostles' feet, which means they came and Joseph and others were able to give without knowing the destiny of their donation. They didn't. They knew that they trusted that God had called these men to guide their donations, to guide their giving, and that all they had to do was sacrificially and generously give from that place. And that's biblical.
I mean, the Bible tells us about the Macedonians, who were the Philippians, who were suffering a great famine, and they sent an offering that was greater than that of the rich young urban church in Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 8:3 tells us, "For I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability, entirely on their own." Paul said, look, I didn't call them and tell them we were having a building campaign. I didn't call them and let them know that there was a great need in the church in Jerusalem. I didn't call and ask for anything. I didn't do anything. I didn't send out letters. I didn't send out flyers. I didn't guilt them. I didn't do a tithing sermon. I didn't do any of that. Entirely on their own, they gave exceedingly and abundantly, sacrificially and generously. And so here we have that same person, Barnabas. He comes and he gives out of a pure heart just for the blessedness of being able to give. You know, what was life-changing for my wife and I was a number of years ago we took the day we saw Dave Ramsey course live. You know, where you get to see Dave Ramsey. And Dave Ramsey said one of the most amazing things you'll ever do in your life is position yourself to where you can be generous. He goes, and that your desire to get out of debt should not be to escape debt. It should be to move into a place where you can give generously. Mm. He goes, because you're going to find blessing after blessing in being able to be generous. And in our life, we would agree with that. We would totally agree with the blessedness of simply being able to give, to see a need and be able to say, oh, we can meet it. You know, I know that, you know, prior to when I was much younger and silly and you know, made some bad financial decisions, you'd see a need and you'd go, man, if I could only had some money to help meet that. And the enemy comes in and uses condemnation in that moment to make us feel as though we're somehow less than. But when you're free from that yoke of bondage and you're able to say, you know what, I see a need and I want to meet some of it. Mm-hmm. There's just something that's just so powerful about that. Something that we just love. And Proverbs tells us in chapter 22 and verse 9, it says, the generous themselves will be blessed. God says, look, don't hold on to your stuff. Share it. Give it. And I'm going to give it back to you. Hmm. Everybody I know who gives generously and sacrificially seems to get way more back than they ever gave, because you can't outgive God. And look at what happens with Job at the end of Job. He gets back everything and double. I mean, so now we go to the other side of the fence, though, because we got Barnabas, and he gives for the blessedness of just being able to give. And we go to the other side now. The book of Acts is a book of firsts. There's first things that happen in the church. It's the first mention of the coming of the Holy Spirit, the first sermon ever preached by Peter, the first converts post-Jesus, the first church, the first miracle out of the church, and the first moment of persecution. And now when we come to this part right here at the beginning of chapter 5, we have the first incident of church discipline. What's going to happen is the church is going to speak, and God is going to do the disciplining. God is going to do the conviction. And what's interesting is that earlier Satan is attacking the church externally. Now the enemy is inside the wire. The enemy is inside the wire, manipulating the hearts of those who call themselves Christian and Christ followers.
And explain inside the wire, because I know you've referenced before being in the army, military, somebody might be, what's inside the wire?
Well, when I use inside the wire, I'm always referencing Jude, where Jude says, secretly they have slipped in, they are godless men who changed the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ into a license for immorality. Those people who have secretly snuck inside, and I'm a military kind of guy, so I love in the wire. You know, they crawled up, they cut the wire, they snuck through the wire. You don't know they're there. Maybe you're asleep. You had too many MREs to eat, meals ready to eat if you're a military person. So we get to this place, and this is what's happening. What's funny is I love names and the meanings of names. All my kids have names that mean something. A really funny story, we were around the kitchen table, and we were talking about names, because we have my new son, Samuel. We call him Samuel, and my son Jacob said, why do you call him Samuel? And I said, because El means God, and I said, his name means one who hears from God. He's like, oh. You know, and he goes, what about her? What about Molly? And I go, Molly Sarah, that means in Hebrew, that means beautiful princess. And he goes, what about Abigail Esther? And I go, Abigail kind of has a connotation of power, and Esther, she's the queen who saved the Jews. And Jacob goes, what does Jacob mean?
Yes.
And I go, deceiver. And it just looked like I lost. Yeah. It was kind of funny. But Ananias means the Lord is gracious.
Hmm.
And Sapphira, where we get the word sapphire, means beautiful. So in their name, built into their name, is their potential. And they fall so sorely short of that, of the potential. Now, it says that, but a man named Ananias, with his wife Sapphira, sold a piece of property, and with his wife's knowledge, listen to that, with his wife's knowledge, he kept back for himself some of the proceeds and brought only a part of it and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? Listen to this. Peter doesn't go like, why'd you lie to me? Why didn't you bring the whole tithe? He goes, dude, Holy Spirit, why did you lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back for yourself part of the proceeds from the land? While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? After it was sold, was it not at your disposal? Why is it that you have contrived this deed in your heart, in your heart? Why? Well, Jeremiah tells us the human heart is deceitful above all else. And then he says, you have not lied to man, but to God. And when Ananias heard these words, he fell down and breathed his last, and great fear came upon all who heard of it. The young men rose and wrapped him up and carried him out and buried him. I mean, it's the end. I mean, it doesn't go too well for Ananias. But listen, with his wife's full knowledge, her complicity, she knew and they knew together that they were selling a plot of land, just like Barnabas had, but with a much different intention. You know, he kept back some of the money himself. You know, and like I said to you before, a number of weeks ago, we talked about just giving and what happens. You know, I think we get that in our hands, and it just does something to us. We look at it. We start to contemplate all the things that we think might make us happy, and we start to contemplate all the things that we could buy with this money. Or I just think that there is something that happens, and we see it happens biblical. They get this money in their hands, and they're like, oh. Is it really 10%? I mean, like, what about 9.5%? You know, and trust me, if you intend on like 10%, but you're shaky, the distance from your house to the church will turn to 5%. I mean, you'll be in the car going like, well, you know, I mean, God really mean 10. I mean, like, what about 7.25%? 7.25, 6, 6.
Well, it seems like they were also given it so they could get all the attention, the accolades. Look what they're doing. They're so generous. I mean, their motives on why they were even given it was seemingly skewed because, I mean, the punishment was great because they were lying.
Right. And I know what's going to happen because this is money. And this is how I know that this is the idol. Because right away when we started talking about this, there are some of you out there who began to squirm. Maybe if you're in the car, you squirmed a little bit. Maybe you kind of did a thing where you did a jackknife to hide your wallet, even though we're on the radio. you still were just trying to, you're like, oh, this is what they want. I can hear it. This is the beginning of the telethon or the share-a-thon or whatever. And Mark's going to start talking about, you know, his online giving program and all this kind of stuff. A lot of you are going to say, he gave some, didn't he? I mean, well, what's the big deal? He gave something. At least he gave something, you know, or you're going, maybe you've got this kind of background where there's some of that junk and you're going, oh, I get it. The church just wants all his money. No. The word kept back that's used in here, the Hebrew word means fraud. So when it says that he kept back some of the money, he was attempting to defraud, which means that communally and publicly he probably made a promise. Being as part of the community and the ethos of that community, he had made a promise to the community. You know, remember, they sold all their stuff and helped anybody who was in need. I wonder if some of the money that was used was maybe I'm reading into the Bible. Maybe some of his share of the money was going to go to feed like 100 widows. And he was defrauding now 100 widows who should be fed from some of this money. Who knows? I don't really know. But the money would come in and we know that they would use the money to help everybody who was in need. So this money has, this kept back has the connotation of fraud. It's the same word that's used actually in Joshua chapter 7 for the fraud of Achan as he held back the gold and silver in Jericho as an offense that, and it was an offense that Joshua stoned him for. And so this is a big offense. And this fraud has a connotation of being done intentionally for self or selfish reasons. This is not like fraud, like mistaken fraud or any of that. This connotation in the Hebrew is selfish and for yourself, not pure reasons. This totally misses the mark of purity. Something happened in his heart, but I'm going to tell you even worse. Someone happened into his heart. And that's what Peter says. Peter says to him, he goes, has Satan filled your heart? You know, and you got this guy Ananias who's among the believers, and he sees what Barnabas, the son of encouragement, is doing, and he desperately—this is what I think—he desperately wants to be like Barnabas. Many people are looking at Barnabas, and they want to be like Barnabas. They want to give like Barnabas. They want to be near him. But he doesn't want to give everything to the one who gave everything for him, which would be Jesus. He wants to be righteous, but he wants to do just enough to look righteous. He wants everybody to believe he's righteous by doing just enough to look like it. And that's some of us. Some of us are doing just enough to look holy, just enough to look righteous, just enough to look Christian, just enough to look like that. And Jesus wants all of it, not some of it. Jesus wants all of it, not some of it. And the issue is a heart issue. That's the issue. Ananias wants the prestige and credit for giving to the mission of the church and the gospel, but he didn't want the inconvenience of actually doing it. And Peter's heart, Peter on the other side, he's speaking. Peter's filled with the Holy Spirit. And I believe that he's not only righteously angered, but he's also probably deeply saddened that Satan has entered Ananias' heart. Now, I want to tell you this. If you're struggling financially and you're having trouble giving, Satan hasn't filled your heart. I want to speak against that because Satan would then come with condemnation to make you feel like you're less than. If you're giving, look at, Jesus said, look at that widow, she only had a couple pennies, but she gave out of her poverty. Jesus didn't say, I saw 10%. But what I want you to know is that God has given generously to you. He has given financially. He has given eternally. God has given generously and poured himself out lavishly into your life. If you have kids, if you have a wife, if you, whatever it is you have, it's because of the Lord. No one else. There's no one else. If you could do it on your own, you would have, but you can't because when you tried to do it on your own, it didn't work. And the Lord intervened into your life and you laid down all of those things at his feet, the same as the apostles' feet was on. You laid it down at his feet and through that and through the shed blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you were reconciled and saved. And I don't want you for a minute to believe that you did that in your own strength and you did that in your own power because it's impossible. It's impossible. And so the issue of generosity is an issue of the heart. And the Bible talks a lot about God who looks into our hearts, who surveys our hearts, who sees our hearts, who knows our prayers before they're even spoken. Why? Because he sees the heart in which they come from. So I would just challenge each one of you to maybe spend some time and look inward and ask that heart of yours if there's any places where you're kind of gummed up or bogged down. There's any places where, you know, if you've got something, it's really hard to get rid of it. And maybe you need Jesus to do some work in there. And if you ask, the Bible tells us he is faithful and he will do it.
We serve a most generous God who's worthy of everything and owns it all anyways. And at the best, we can only give him back some of it. So take to heart these words spoken through co-host Pastor Jason Schiffel, but certainly words from the Lord that we can all take to heart. Hey, thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffel with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you and have a great day and night.